This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on January the 14th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2015-14, Hillary for America. Mr. Elias is here, who is the requester, and Ms. Lopez. We have, this is the second time that we've considered this matter, but there have been some late-breaking developments, so I will turn it over to Sean Wright and Bob Knopp to give us a presentation.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson, and good morning, Commissioners. Before you is Agenda Document 1569, which contains three responses to advisory opinion request by Hillary for America. The request, as you know, asks whether DePaul University may provide a stipend and academic credit to a student who interned in the requester's compliance and vetting departments. Drafts A and B concluded that provision of a stipend is permissible under the Acting Commission regulations for the legal and compliance work that the student provided, but not for her other campaign work. The drafts also concluded that the provision of an academic credit is permissible for all of the student's work. Conversely, Draft C concludes that the provision of a stipend and academic credit is permissible under the Act and Commission regulations for all of the student's work. The Commission received two comments on the request and two comments on the drafts. Thank you, and I'd be happy to address any questions you have.
All right. Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Wright. Are there any comments? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Elias, you don't always persuade me when you come to the table with a request, but I thought you made a lot of good points at the last meeting, and I went back and looked at some of the old precedents that were being relied on in the initial drafts. And I was it's surprising that the question as you pose it has actually not been posed before. I'm always surprised when somebody comes up with something new that there's nothing new about student internships, so it's surprising that nobody has ever brought us one like this before. But all of the previous iterations that have come before the commission have involved some sort of special program or a special scholarship fund and not a broad-based internship program like the one at issue here, where it's an accredited degree-granting institution. It's a 501c3. It's a they've got a broad-based internship program that's required for their students, and they have and students can apply for these stipends to help them with their living expenses while they are performing those internships. And this particular student happened to have a political internship, but the program isn't set up to do political internships. This is to allow her to accept it would put her on equal footing with all the other students who do non-political internships. And as I said, it's surprising, but nobody's ever posed that question to us before. And some of the old AOs, the very old AOs, were from the early days of the commission. When the commission first started up in the 70s, it was handling over 100 advisory opinion requests a year. So the responses were did not contain elaborate legal analyses in them. So some of those early ones are somewhat cursory in their analysis to begin with. But I think that there is not a lot of risk in to the system in saying yes to this request, and it would be, I think, beneficial, in fact, to do so. So working with OGC, my office came up with draft C, which does say yes. I think one way of looking at this would be to compare it to the situation of a better-off student from a more well-to-do family who wanted to do a political internship and for, you know, that didn't pay, an unpaid internship. And the family might say, well, you know, that's fine, honey. You go ahead and do that, and we'll pay your living expenses while you're doing that. We would never, in those circumstances, look at the family's payment of the intern's living expenses as a contribution to the campaign. And it seems to me that the school is doing effectively the same thing here. They are treating her like any other intern and providing her with a stipend, or offering to provide her with a stipend that would cover her living expenses. And it's totally independent of the fact that she happens to be doing a political internship. Their only concern is that it be of educational benefit, and they appear to have decided that it wouldn't satisfy their educational criteria. So I think you made some good arguments, and I went back and double-checked the law, and I think that that we could, without even overruling any of the old precedents, because the old AOs were not about this kind of a situation, I think we could say yes, and we should. I don't know if anybody else is ready to say yes, but I'm ready to say yes.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions for counsel? Commissioner Goodman.
I also thought that your presentation was persuasive at the last meeting, so I just want to let you know that the unique educational environment is of special interest to me, and the purpose for which these payments, these stipends are paid, is of interest. I also think that the unique First Amendment area of academic freedom is at play here. Without any, without this stipend program presenting any risk of corruption.
Correct.
So I must apologize to you. I thought long and hard about your two advisory opinion requests over the break, and this is one where I started to move on from a no to a yes. I didn't think that there might be four votes of the commission, and just this week it began to crystallize that there just might be four votes, but the thought and the thinking and the rationale for getting there is still in some flux. I note that the issues you raise are somewhat retrospective. I understand that the young lady is still awaiting a disposition of whether she can receive the money and that the campaign doesn't want to receive a corporate contribution. Given that we have another public meeting in 2 weeks, I don't want to jerk your chain and I don't want to overpromise, but I think there is enough fluidity on the commission, I have learned in the past 2 days. And I want you to know I was here till 11 o'clock last night working on the draft that came from Commissioner Weintraub's office. So I'm working very hard for your client to see if we can get to a yes draft on this. And I am impressed particularly by the educational purposes at issue here. So with that, I will leave it to the chair to decide how best, in consultation with you, to proceed. But it may behoove the commission to take 2 more weeks on this.
Mr. Elias, do you have any comment or?
So first, let me thank all of you. Congratulations on chairmanship. Congratulations on the vice chairmanship, and I want to thank you all. It's not often that one appears where there is seemingly consensus against you, and there at least has been some movement. So, of course, you know, if you need 2 more weeks, I think last time I said if you need 2 more weeks, just tell me what time you need. We'd rather you get this right. Hopefully you'll think right is that the answer is yes. But either way, I think you're right. I think there are a number of interests here involving your point about the parents paying that is, you know, you'd have to wrestle with a no. I think your point about academic freedom and the right of 501c3s to sort of pursue their mission, I think, is important. So, you know, we can perhaps work it out. I don't know how this is done, but we will consent to whatever time you need to hold this over.
Okay. Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you. With respect to draft C, I think it does make sense to try to say yes to this. And I actually have had several people ask me this question sort of over the years since I've been here.
What did you say?
I said no.
Okay.
I mean, because that's what the precedent says. Yeah. And so people have said sort of informally, you know, different colleges or, you know, people that I know that are interns, could we do this? And I say no. The precedent says no. So that was an easy answer, and I'm not sure that I'm at yes. I'm still thinking about it, but one of the things is with respect to the legal analysis here, I'm not so sure that I could support it as written because it comes up with a completely new test. You know, it is compensation and it is for personal services, but now we look into whether it's for, you know, is the compensation for the campaign or is it for someone's educational benefit? And one of the issues that I'm thinking through on that is, so now the only person who can decide that it's for the student's educational benefit is the university. It can't be under this AO. It can't be, for example, I got a small stipend or whatever you want to call it in high school from a nonprofit organization that wasn't in the university. And so that person under this AO's analysis is not equipped to say that that money is for my educational benefit. And so I'm not sure that cabining in to just academic institutions makes sense, and B, is it a legally significant fact? Why are they the only ones that can decide? And so, along the lines of the thing that we were talking about before of, you know, making sure that disadvantaged students can do this, I know that some students prefer not to go through the credit route, because then they have to pay the credits. I did this in college. I was an intern on the presidential campaign, got 6 credits for it, and had to pay for the 6 credits, which was expensive. And so the cheaper way of doing it, and a lot of my friends did it this way, is they didn't get the credits, and then you just go back to school the next semester and jam out as many credits as you can. So you can take 21 credits, at least when I was in college, for the same price that you could take 15. So it's cheaper that way. And I don't think, you know, just saying this is the way we're going to make sure disadvantaged students can go is necessarily true. There's a lot of other ways to do it. But those are the things that I'm still thinking about. Another question is, I saw this in a previous draft. It's not in this one, but the second program at DePauw allows students to do this for as few as, I think I saw, half a credit or something like that. Am I reading that right? It doesn't have to be, you know, the full semester.
The programs are actually separate. So the grant program, you don't have to be getting credit to get the grant.
Okay.
So it's not, and you'll see if the very first request, we lay it out, I think, in the most clear manner. But the extended studies credit, one way to do it is an internship. And once you've gotten it, you apply through that and you get the credit. But it's not necessary that you're an extended studies credit recipient to apply to the grant program. Does that make sense?
I'll have to go back and read it.
Okay.
With that in mind.
Grant program supports the extended studies credit in the sense that you can get the money while getting that credit,
right,
but it's
okay.
Not necessary.
So do you have to, does the extended studies program, do you have to do this sort of like intensive study, take the semester off of college and do it, or could you still be on campus and take, you know, a 1 hour or half a credit?
There are other ways to do it. It doesn't have to be an internship. It can be.
Okay. What could it be besides an internship?
I'd have to look back deeper into that program. But I think it's the idea is that it's some sort of hands-on learning experience. But
okay.
I think maybe a clinical program at the school or something like that would probably also
be acceptable.
So
you could go work for a campaign, you know, say your university was in a target state. You could go, you know, do some kind of hands-on program for half a credit or 1 credit, you know, sort of getting out the vote, for example.
Sure. I think so, yes.
Okay. Assuming it met the criteria of...
Which criteria?
Whatever the university, you know, gives 1 credit or 1 half credit for.
Right, half a credit, right.
Yeah, in other words, we can check and see whether DePauw offers half-credit classes as opposed to one. I know that different universities have different rules about what the minimum unit of...
But it wouldn't matter under this AO.
I don't think it would matter legally.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter.
I was just trying to answer like as a factual matter.
Right.
Like I don't know legally it matters, but...
Do you think it matters legally that this is only for academic institutions? Is that something that should matter under the legal analysis?
So I'm going to confess something that is akin to what I think Commissioner Goodman was confessing, which is, you know, I last hearing, I started with, you know, it appeared we were at 6 no's. Yesterday it appeared, well, perhaps there is some movement on this, but it was less transparent to me that there was as much potential movement as there is, so that or not.
I'm mirroring what I
heard Commissioner Goodman say.
I'm in the zone.
Yeah, right. So the truth is, one of the benefits of giving you all a couple of weeks is it will let me also think further about. Yeah, when you file a request and you get back drafts that say no, you know, you're
in a different frame of mind.
You're in a different frame of mind. So I, if I, yeah.
a different. I'm looking over past you. Sorry, Peterson.
Not
you're
a problem,
the chair.
Commissioner Hunter.
a separate sort of line of questioning and one different idea that's a different approach than Draft C is just to say, well, we're going to essentially overrule parts of the previous AOs and say that a stipend is not compensation. And you know, I don't know if you'll yell at us for doing that because you want us to follow the precedent in other areas. But this would be at least more deregulatory. And I think, as I said earlier, that is more, in my mind, that's easier to do because you're going in a more deregulatory position. But that's another potential. I don't know if you've had a chance to think about that because it wasn't on the table, but saying that a stipend is not compensation.
Look, I think that Commissioner Weintraub makes a point about whether or not you have to overrule those earlier precedent. I think our original request suggested that you should overrule the earlier precedent.
Right.
So I haven't gone back and looked to see, in light of Draft C, whether there is a way to thread those needles. I mean, I don't want to when you look at those early precedent, I think I said this last time, they are, I mean, literally, like, physically look at them. There is a dearth of analysis, and frankly, I don't think the commission. I think there are precedent where if you all were on the commission, you might or might not have come out the way that a prior precedent. Right, we had that conversation about the Kerry AO, for example. I think the precedent that are at issue here, even if you had come out the same way, you would never have written it the same way. Like, it's like they're just from, like, another era of the agency and another era of campaigns and, frankly, another era of higher education. And your question about other nonprofit organizations, I mean, just, like, none of that is contemplated in sort of a meaningful way to the current campaign finance system. So I guess, if you ask me, I am less attached to those precedent but if the commission feels it's important to affirm them in some form or fashion, then you know, my goal is to get to a yes. But my initial take on it was that those precedent probably just should go by the wayside.
And I, at this moment, which again could change, I tend to agree with you, and I realize that's the way you structured the request in the first instance. I certainly don't want to speak for anybody, but my recollection of some of what was said last public meeting was that people were more interested in cabining it in. And after I've read this one, I'm not so sure that that's the right way of going. But doing it that way may again, don't want to speak for anybody, but may lose support for a different reason.
Right, although we can always get yeses. Like, we can get six yeses in gradations of yes. I
you haven't heard from every commissioner yet.
More precisely, four yeses. I haven't heard from four commissioners. So I hope if there's not an agreement on the reason for yes, we could still get this student, you know, to a good place. But I hear you. There's a lot of fluidity to this, and I think whether it is useful at all times or not, I will leave to each of you your own judgments. But we tend to generate a fair amount of paper around these things. So I can assure you we will also take what we're hearing the feedback from today is and try to give you further thoughts in advance of your own consideration of this in a couple of weeks.
Thanks.
Or I shouldn't say a couple of weeks. I don't know when it will be scheduled, but for whatever.
Okay. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to make a point that I've made in other contexts, which is we have a particular AO request in front of us. If some nonprofit group that wants to offer a stipend wants to come in and describe their program and ask for an AO request, they're free to do so. But this is not a rulemaking. It's an AO. Speaking for myself, there are a variety of facts that are represented in this AO request that are significant to me. I don't know that I would be – I'm happy and welcome the opportunity to work with my colleagues because I think the A plan would be that we could get four or more commissioners on the same rationale and then we could give some actual guidance, which would be nice. But I'm not – I would have more concerns about – saying, well, you know, any nonprofit organization that sets up a program of political internships and wants to fund them, we're going to say that's fine, because I could well imagine a 501c4 organization that springs up around an election. We're starting to see this more and more, and seems to have the sole purpose of promoting a particular candidate, and they decide that one of their nonprofit activities is going to be they're going to sponsor a political internship, and they are going to provide stipends and salaries for people who want to do political work explicitly on campaigns. And, oh, looky, looky, it just turns out that everyone who applies and gets their political internship is going to work in the offices of one particular candidate. And all of that is being supported by undisclosed dollars. I would have concerns about that. So I would not be interested in writing a rationale that would open the door to that. But I think we have a lot more protections when we are talking about a university that has a broad-based internship program. In this fact pattern, I don't see any risks of any problems, but I could envision other problems where people are basically providing paid labor to campaigns that would cause concern for me.
Would you have a concern if it came to be that a university who, you know, had the nonpartisan kind of process that we've discussed here today ended up sending all of their interns to the Ted Cruz campaign? And we didn't know where any of the money that was sent to that university came from? Would you have any concerns then?
I think if it looked like this, if it was a, you know, accredited degree-granting institution, I mean, I'm sure there are some accredited degree-granting institutions that attract a more conservative student base and some that attract a more liberal student base, and that's...
So the fact that they're accredited takes away your concern?
That's an important factor to me in this scenario. I'm not saying that I would say no necessarily to all other requests. I just think we ought to take them as they come.
Right. And I understand what you're saying, but as we've discussed, I think we have a different view of this provision of the statute about advisory opinions, because I think that we have to determine what's materially significant. And so if it's significant to you that it's a accreditation, that it's a, that this program is done through an accredited university, then obviously you're free to say that. But I don't know that that's legally significant, and therefore other people should be able to rely on it if they're 501c whatevers and they're not in universities, because I'm not sure that that's a legally significant fact.
Well, but they would not be. You know, we've got the boilerplate at the back of all of our
right.
AOs that say this response constitutes an advisory opinion concerning the application of the Act and Commission regulations to the specific transaction or activity set forth in your request. The Commission emphasizes that if there is a change in any of the facts or assumptions presented, and such facts or assumptions are material to a conclusion presented in this advisory opinion, then the requester may not rely on that conclusion as support for its proposed activity. Any person involved in any specific transaction or activity which is indistinguishable in all its material aspects from the transaction or activity with respect to which this advisory opinion is rendered may rely on this advisory opinion.
Right. I understand. But what I'm saying is that
if you're, you know, going to say, well, other people who present different facts can also rely on this even though they're transaction is not the same as this, I don't think that's the law.
Right, but you would put the accreditation portion in the legal analysis. And so you're right. Other people wouldn't be able to rely on that opinion if they were in an accredited institution. I may not do so. And so other people would be able to rely on a decision that we pass. So
we should do a rulemaking.
Well, no, I don't. I mean, maybe we should, but that's not at play in this discussion at all. If I don't think it's legally significant that it's an accredited institution, then that's not going to be in the legal analysis of this AO, and therefore other people can rely on it.
Commissioner Ravel.
Thank you. Well, I think we should spend some time talking about, you know, how we can reach yes that we all agree on, but this discussion is helpful. I have to say that not only I was at no, a fairly strong no. And then thank you for your not only your presentation, but also the points that you made and the points that you've made in the letter that set forth some of the factors that do cabin this issue in for me. And so I have to say that I concur. Generally, I'm not in total agreement with draft C. However, I concur with the analysis that it must relate to an accredited institution. It must be a stipend that is intended for all students. All of the factors, and I can read them all, but all of the factors that Mr. Elias set forth in his request, because those are meaningful, meaningful. And going back to look at the previous AOs, the reasoning, as he pointed out, is either dicta or weak. But I am in agreement that with respect to a student, both legally and also just from a policy basis, there seems to be an appropriate concept of making an exception in this case. But I would not want to extend it out to other nonprofits because, as we know, that opens up the universe in a way that is not one before us, as Commissioner Weintraub pointed out, but also is not something that I could support because it would not be, it would eviscerate the rules relating to corporate contributions.
What, I'm sorry, it would eviscerate
the rules relating to corporate contributions, and that would be inappropriate in my view.
But educational institutions are also corporations.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
And I think in this circumstance, and you know, you had the conversation about whether or not the previous AOs should be overruled or withdrawn or for anything else. I am open to either of those approaches, actually, but I definitely would want to cabin it in.
Some corporations are okay, and others might not be.
Well,
I think this is helpful to air these. You can tell we haven't had a chance to air these since, because this is late developing thought among the commission, and I think it's helpful for you to hear it too. If you are going to submit, and I'll leave it to you because I don't want to spend your clients' money unnecessarily, but if you are going to submit something, it would be helpful to receive it probably by next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I said it is helpful to get you this in advance of.
So just so that you have some thoughts to conjure and shoot for, you know. To me, in this discussion, the linchpin legal principle is not that it is an accredited university or that it is a stipend. It is that the purpose for the stipend is a bona fide educational purpose. And what is the evidence that it is a bona fide educational purpose? We have an accredited university. We have a bona fide student-university relationship. We have a long-standing, not that it has to be long-standing, but stipend program. We have an extended studies program that requires those are all evidence that it is bona fide, as opposed to a run-of-the-mill, a mill to just fund campaign interns for one side of the fence. I might also add, though, that risk is somewhat cabined by IRS precedent, and these, particularly the Campaign Academy case, which you didn't cite in your materials, but I think is relevant here. C3s cannot run a mill to train people for just one side of the fence. The IRS has determined, and the tax court has held, that is personal benefit or private benefit to one party. So for all those reasons, I'm not that concerned about someone other than a university doing this. This one happens to be a university. So to me, the fact that it's accredited and all that is relevant, but relevant to what I find is a broader legal principle, and that is the bona fide educational purpose. So that may help you. I'm also interested in harmonizing to some extent the historical, because I agree, I read the historical opinions, and there is no analysis. It's rote.
Right.
Right? You paid for somebody who volunteered, who worked intern for a campaign, ergo, it's a corporate contribution. And there's no analysis behind those simple statements in Koenig or the NYU case or the Vanderbilt case. So when you look under the hood of that analysis, you also find several inconsistencies through the 35 years of precedent. And one is, why is it that in-kind credit has not been treated, but the stipend that allows you to do something toward credit would be? The inconsistency that a stipend that allows you to take a summer to go do this and have your subsistence paid treats students differently who may be on scholarship at school having their subsistence paid by somebody else while they volunteer for a local federal campaign. Why do we allow one subsidy but not the other? Why is it that we discriminate among students who work for nonprofit causes and non-political activities versus those who choose a political nonprofit? Those are all of interest to me if you are going to submit something further. And to me, the bona fide educational purpose resolves all of those. So long as I see the overriding educational purpose evidenced by the accreditation, evidenced by the ongoing student relationship, evidenced by those things, then when the next case comes to me, I know that the question is there a bona fide educational purpose and program here as opposed to just a mill to provide people internships? And I can look for indicia of bona fide educational purpose, and this would be the first one that we let out of the barn to say so. So, and by the way, this is one commissioner's thinking, but to the extent you're trying to harmonize, that is one possible way.
Right. So if I can just address two of those points, which I think are really...
Yes, could you react? I'll ask you a question.
Resonate.
Could you react to
Thank
that?
Thank you. Which resonate a lot. The first is... So there's that line of AOs that like the CompuServe AO about like whether
which one
CompuServe whether CompuServe, I think it was CompuServe, could give free email accounts to campaigns. This was back when one had to pay for email accounts. It was from the early 90s or late 80s, and basically what the law that came out of that sort of line is that you can't treat campaigns better, but you don't have to treat them worse. Right, there's all of these cases like involving like hotel discounts
Hyatt.
Or frequent Hyatt.
Hyatt,
there's all these. So when I first looked at this question, and I didn't know about these old AOs, I didn't know about the old AOs. I was actually shocked because I was like, I don't understand. As long as they're not discriminating between political and non-political, this is like a narrow little area where we are actually saying no, you actually have to treat campaigns worse. Whereas Hyatt. With hotel points and discounts, doesn't have to treat them worse. So I think there's a harmonization there that is kind of nettlesome here because it's not clear why we have picked out this group of people, students that they don't get that benefit, but Hyatt does. So that's one thing. The second is that something you said, Commissioner, actually resonates with something Commissioner Weintraub started with, which is that if you don't walk back to some extent, whether it's harmonized, whether it's overruled, I'll leave to you all, you do wind up in this odd thing where the university is actually paying some students to be doing interns, as you point out, and people's parents are providing stipends for people to do, right? The rich family, their parents are providing essentially these subsidies.
Or private foundations and other scholarships.
Or private foundations and other scholarships, or banks, federally chartered banks, right? Like, in some ways, it proves too much, the old line of authority, because if in fact the payment of someone's living expenses to do a stint on a campaign is a contribution, well then, geez, we need to be looking, every campaign needs to be looking at, are these people working on the campaign? Forget about internships. Are the people working on the campaign, are their parents supporting them? Are their boyfriend or girlfriend supporting them? Have they taken out a loan to support them? Is Visa, are they not paying their credit card bill? So your point about harmonization, I think, actually goes to a point that I think Commissioner Weintraub was making about this, where you do have this oddity that you would have to figure out what is the personal funds issue, if any, if you follow those old opinions. So I know you made a couple of other points, and we'll address those as well. But I think you're right that this kind of doesn't hold together.
Are there any other questions or comments? The only one that I have is it follows up on something that Commissioner Hunter brought up, which is, and first of all, let me thank Commissioner Weintraub for getting a draft out there that I think moves the ball forward and gives us a vehicle now to try to find compromise. And I certainly think that this has been helpful here. I think the conversations we've had so far have been helpful, and I hope that we can find a way that we can land this. The draft, draft C, says that the stipend is compensation and that there are personal services being provided to the campaign, but that the compensation is not for those personal services, but that it's rather a compensation for maintaining the blog or doing the sorts of activities that I think that there was some mention of there were some academic, I don't know if it was papers or presentations that were associated with receiving the stipend.
Those requirements are associated with the extended studies credit.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Not with the stipend. The idea with the stipend is that it's just to support these basic living expenses and not even cover them. Like, if you'll notice on her expenses, they were like $4,700 and she's getting $3,000. So I think that's the point that Jeff C. tries to make with respect to that.
One of the issues that Commissioner Hunter brought up that I've been puzzling over myself is whether or not we should even be calling it compensation. Does calling it compensation, I don't know if this is a question that you would know offhand. Does that have implications? Your client's not the university, but rather the campaign. But does that have implications for the university?
It has implications for the university and for
to say that it's compensation
as a tax. It would make it taxable in these stipends. I mean, I'm not representing the individual nor the university, and I'm not a tax lawyer. But with all of that, I think it also has it would have significant tax implications.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Whether it's taxable income, I don't think it is compensation.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think. I think there is a reason why the IRS has rules around stipends that distinguish it from compensation.
And that's just one of the issues that I'm just kind of noodling over right now is should we be calling this compensation at all, or should we stay kind of in the framework that the draft C has where we say that it's not compensation for the personal services? Because when you think of compensation, that means payment for services rendered to a certain individual or entity, and there isn't anything, there's not work that's being performed by the recipient of the stipend here. So it's not that they are, I mean, they're furthering their academic career. They're not really being, it's not like this is an intern for a professor who's doing research and is being compensated for those research activities on behalf of a professor. And so I'm just wondering if even maybe the cleaner shot, that at least as I'm thinking through it, and I may be persuaded otherwise, but something that you might also, to the extent that you have additional thoughts on, is the cleaner analytical approach to just say, if we were to approve this, to say that this just isn't compensation?
Yeah, I mean, also, by the way, wage and hour laws, right? Yeah. Like, if this was compensation, then unless it was, you'd have the exempt, non-exempt employee issue, you'd have withholding tax issues, you'd have minimum wage, and I think that this, again, we can look into this and give a little more meat to this, but I think it's not. I believe it's actually not treated as compensation.
Okay. All right. Is there any other discussion or any questions? If not, I think the plan will be then to resume discussion on this in 2 weeks at our next open meeting. And I certainly appreciate the comments you've given us so far, and also the opportunity to allow us to continue to discuss and figure out a way potentially to go forward on this. So. If there's no other discussion, we'll just say that we look forward to the additional materials that you provide.
Again, I want to thank you all for taking this seriously. Commissioner Weintraub, thank you for rescuing this with a draft. And commissioners, thank you all for your time and attention.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Elias and Ms. Lopez.